I feel good.
Dad, are you singing to your cereal?
Come on, Ava. Silk almond milk starts the morning on a high note.
Silk almond milk.
With calcium, vitamins A, D, and E.
Feel plenty good.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Listen!
And welcome to NBC IGN's Nintendo Podcast. This week, we will be talking about Nioh, The World Ends With You, Pokemon Snap and Animal Crossing updates, and The Great Ace Attorney Chronicles, as well as much more. Like always, I'm your host, Casey DeFritis, and this week I am joined by Seth Macy.
What's up, Super Nintendos?
Hello, Reb Valentine, who reviewed Nioh, The World Ends With You.
Hi, Casey. I'm glad I'm here again.
Yeah, thank you. And also Logan Plant, who is playing The Great Ace Attorney Chronicles and has a lot of things to say about it, I assume.
It's great. It's up to the name.
It does live up to the name. Well, thank you all for joining me this week. Let's start it off with our first topic. Nioh, The World Ends With You. I've also been playing this. I've been like trudging through, trying to get the walkthrough finished for it. But man, there's a lot going on with this game. Reb, can you tell us what you scored and a quick summary, and then we'll talk some more.
Oh man, so Nioh The World Ends With You is such a game of contradictions. It's such a roller coaster. I think it's very good. I gave it a 7, which is good on the IGN score system. Thank you very much. If you played the first, The World Ends With You, either on the DS or the Final Mix version on the Switch, or if you watch the anime, if you have any of that background and you love that game, you're probably really going to like this. It does a lot. It captures the vibe of those games really, really well. Even though the battle system has changed drastically from the DS version, I think they still captured the feelings, the way that that system felt very, very well in terms of the way you are sort of trading off attacks with your companions who are fighting with you. It's very, very cool. The soundtrack is just straight bangers, the whole thing. I don't know how they managed to top the first game soundtrack, which is already one of the best video game soundtracks ever, but they managed to do it. Just literally not a bad song in that whole game. All the vibes, all the feelings are really good. Kind of where I sort of backed off of it's hard to talk about the game. It's not super friendly for newcomers to the series. If you don't know anything about this, I would not jump in here at all. But the other thing is, I think after 14 years after playing the first game, I came into this looking at this main cast of characters, Rindo, Fret, and Nagi, and expecting a new story, expecting it to center on them and their feelings and their troubles and their journey through the Reapers game in the same way that Neku was the center of the first The World Ends With You. And he had, you know, this whole arc where he, a coming of age story of sorts. It was very good. I expected that. And about midway through Nioh, The World Ends With You, it very much does a hard pivot from being a story about those three to being a direct sequel to the first game. And I think that as a result, it ended up not quite fulfilling either being a direct sequel or being a story on its own. It just sort of like both things just sort of clashed and neither ended up being like super fulfilling for me. So that was a big disappointment. And I think it sort of fails to stand on its own in that regard, but it's still fun. It's still really good. There's a lot of really cool boss fights. I did play on the Switch and there were some bugs, especially in battles, that you might want to be, if you're picking versions between that and the PlayStation and other versions. I know it's a Nintendo podcast. I know we're all Switch fans here. I love it. I got through it on the Switch, but, is a little messy. I had a few game crashes. That wasn't great either. But other than all that, it is very good. If you like the first game, you'll like this. Just go for it. It's great. The music alone is worth it.
And looks like we lost Logan, but hopefully he'll be back soon. But let's continue talking about Nioh, The World Ends With You. I did want to mention that there is a demo that you can play on the eShop. So if you are interested in that, and also you can watch, as Reb mentioned, you can watch the anime on Hulu and Funimation, I believe. And it does a good job at summing up the story of what happened in the first one as well. But I did have a specific comment. So I know you said you really like the music. Mm-hmm. Some of those tracks just were like nails on a chalkboard to me.
What?
I
thought, really?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Like,
You are the first person in the entire universe to have this opinion.
I loved the soundtrack to the first one, like calling like the best song.
Yeah.
And I was so happy to hear that in this game too. But some of the ones in the first couple of chapters, I just, you can change the song. If there's a song playing that you don't like, open the menu and close it again and it'll switch to a different song, just so you know. Like, I want to tell you the lyrics of the song that got on my nerves so bad, but as soon as I heard it starting, I would immediately change it, and now I don't remember what it sounds like anymore, which I'm thankful for. But I don't remember what it was.
There's literally not a bad song in that game, Casey.
It was one song. I don't know what it, I can't remember what it was called. It was something like, it was a really edgy, like, rock early 2000s like rock sounding song.
Okay, now we're gonna fight because
there's a battle theme
that I have specifically described to multiple friends as an early 2000s like alt rock song.
It was one of the ones that just played in the overworld occasionally. Okay. And it was also one that was very common in a bunch of like the story components in like very early on.
Okay.
Too.
Okay, I might be able to forgive that.
Was it a Limp Bizkit song?
I don't know, man. There's a tweet going around
with a song from the game that someone has been like, why did they just hire Limp Bizkit to compose this game?
It probably was that song. But anyway, the other songs are good.
Well, if that's the case, then I'm going to have to side with Casey on this one.
Sorry, Reb. No.
Play the demo and you'll know the song I'm talking about, I think, maybe. I don't know. Music tastes are so subjective, but
also true.
It does have like a little bit of everything. So you're right.
It does.
There is a song you don't like. Like there's like more pop stuff. There's stuff that's there's tons of tracks coming back from the previous game that are either remixed or just as they were. Mm-hmm. There's rap, there's metal, there's early 2000s rock. There's a whole bunch of really good stuff in there. Gosh, oh, it's so, I can't believe, it's so good.
I'm sorry.
Okay? No, it's okay. It's okay. It's fine. It's okay.
I also wanted to talk about, so I loved the first Neo the World, not Neo, but just, I loved the first, I keep getting caught up on saying, I love the first the, because saying that after each other just sounds weird. The World Ends With You, the first one. I really like that one on the DS. Jeez, I don't know why I couldn't figure out how to say that. But I love the first DS game. It was one of my favorite DS games of all time. I don't know, it just really clicked with me. I really liked it. I really liked the combat and how it relied on different stylus movements to perform different attacks. And I'm not super fond of the way they translated that system to the button mapping. I feel like it takes away some of the strategy, but it was still really fun, and collecting pins was really fun, but just a little bit more chaotic than it was in the first game, even though you did have to control two different characters at the same time with different inputs. But
so I'd say, yeah, give it time. I felt playing this game was very much a roller coaster for me, because there are things that in the first, so again, not trying to spoil, the original World Ends With You takes place over 3 weeks, but when you start the game, you initially assume it's only going to be 1 week, because the idea being at the end of the week, they escape the game and it's over. Neo has a similar conceit where initially you think, oh, we're going to be doing this for a week, and then at the end of the first week, something happens and the game continues. The game is longer than 15 hours.
So it's coronavirus, the simulator. Then.
Oh my God.
oh no.
No, but where I was going with that is the first week of the game, I wasn't super high on the combat. I felt like, oh, this feels, I just can't get into it. Like I wasn't getting the flow. Like I didn't have the right pins. In the following hours of the game after that point, it really does kind of burst open and you get like so many pins. Okay. And it becomes a lot easier. And a few other things, it's so hard to say things because there are a lot of things that qualify as spoilers in this game that are game mechanics, which is the whole thing. But there are things that happen in subsequent, later in the game that will make the combat, I think, a lot more interesting to you and a lot more easy to customize in ways that will give it that flow that you're looking for. So stick with it. I think you'll get there.
I mean, I have to. I'm writing the walkthrough, which is why I'm so slow and like not done with the first week yet. But no, I'm getting, I like it. It's fun. It's interesting. The story has me really interested. I really have no idea what's going on still at the first week, which I think is great. But no, I'm looking forward to the rest of it, especially if you say, like, you saying that there is some direct sequelness to it.
Oh, yeah.
Makes me more excited as a fan of the first. Yes. I think it's really smart of them to come out with the anime so that people who don't want to play through a whole first game can just go and watch the anime. Assuming you like anime, but I'm assuming if this game looks interesting to you, you probably like anime. So is that a wrong assumption?
Yeah. Like, no, I think, yeah, I think you're in for some troubles if you don't like anime and you want to watch.
This is the type of anime game.
Pronounces it anime.
I will throw out there too, if you were in a situation where you played the DS game and did not play the Final Mix Switch version, didn't play the mobile game, didn't play or didn't watch the anime, like basically haven't touched this series since the DS, maybe read a wiki about what happens, about the extra content in those games. Just throwing that out there.
Good to know.
It'll help.
And last thing I wanted to mention, man, the food in this game just looks absolutely phenomenal, like literally drooling while ordering food in this game. I had to go out and get ramen over the weekend. I needed to. It looks great. Reb, thank you so much for telling us about your review. She did give it a 7 out of 10 again, which is a good. You can read the full review, which is really in depth, on IGN.com, or watch the video review as well. I think you go over your points very, very well. I'm also just want to say I'm glad that we have this game, because I never thought we would get a sequel. So I'm just glad it exists overall. It's been so many years. Like, who would have thought? So thank you. Thank you for making this happen, Square Enix. I appreciate you.
Now put the soundtracks on Spotify, please.
Please put the first one on Spotify. Like, I used to go to YouTube videos to listen to that soundtrack. So
yeah, I still do. Casey can skip any song she wants. It's fine.
Yeah, just that one song, man. It's just like, I'll figure out what it is and I'll comment. I'll comment on the video and be like, this is the song. Don't listen to it. No, it's okay. I feel bad now, because like, what if the artist who made that song like worked really hard on it?
I mean, they did, but I'm pretty sure the same band did all the music. So if you like the other songs,
that's fine. If I like some other songs, it's fine. They can get one or two bands.
I think
it's all good. But speaking about things that we are thankful for, I know Reb and I are especially thankful for some updates coming up soon, including new Pokemon Snap. We're getting an update on August 3rd at 6 p.m. Pacific time. It's actually, so when I first watched this trailer, I know Reb, it's so cute.
Oh my gosh, adorable. That's showing the trailer.
Also, by the way, this trailer just spoils so many things. So if you have not completed new Pokemon Snap, like, spoilers all over the place.
Dang,
it's fine. You probably finished it.
Story spoilers.
You probably finished it or don't care. So it's fine. You probably fall into one of those two categories. So, but when I was first watching this, I thought that these were new paths to existing routes, but these are actually three totally new areas that we're getting a secret side path in the Florio Nature Park, which makes it so that you get tiny so you can go in the tall grass and look at big bugs and stuff, and that looks really cool. You're also getting Mighty Wide River Bellasilva, where you are riding in the rapids, which looks really neat, like waterfalls and stuff. You get to go down like a water slide.
It looks like a reference to the rapids. Yeah, there it is.
We're getting the Barren Badlands on Voluca. Also, Joe Merrick, who runs Serebii, mentioned that some of the footage in this trailer actually matched footage from earlier trailers, but this wasn't in the game. So people are thinking like maybe some of this was originally planned to be in the base game, but they didn't finish it in time. So now they're releasing it as free DLC, which is cool. I'm glad they did finish it. But look how big these Pokemon look when you're tiny.
You're gonna ride him! Oh my god!
That means, you know what means, what that means? If you're riding a Pokemon, you also get to pet the Pokemon. You know what's happening, right? All the pets. All of the pets in the world. So, Reb, I know that you also reviewed new Pokemon Snap. Can you remind us what you gave that game?
I don't remember. Is it bad that I don't remember? I loved it. Did I give it an 8? Is that what I gave it?
Yeah, I think you gave it an 8 as well.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I loved it. This reaction that I'm having watching this trailer right now was basically my reaction through playing that entire game. You know, going through these routes and just seeing Pokemon go, and I went, like every time. It very much captures the joy of of Pokemon in their natural habitat in like a really fun and delightful way. It has a lot of fun little features added to sort of the camera elements and stuff that are great. But I think like ultimately the best thing about it was just being out in the world with Pokemon and seeing them do cute and surprising things, and how much of that was packed into the game, and how you were able to go back to these routes that you had visited 100 times before and still like find some new surprising interaction
every single time.
Yeah, like even just watching like the beginning of that trailer before it goes into the new routes, like there are interactions in that trailer that I haven't seen. I'm like, wow, wait, now I got to go back and play those and figure out what's going on there. Like that's great. I love that game a lot. It made me really happy.
Did you get the Fujifilm printer so you could print out your snaps?
I didn't, because I believe we had a whole conversation on NVC about this where I advocated just going to the dang Walgreens.
Yeah, we did. We had a whole conversation. I was overly excited about it because branding, and then people were like, you're stupid and falling for the stupid marketing and branding. And I felt dumb I didn't buy it.
Celebrate your passion. Don't go to Walgreens. No. Nobody's showing off their Walgreens at their local, you know, corner.
I mean,
like you show off your little Pikachu printer and be like, yeah, check it out, I got one. Instead of being like, I went to Walgreens.
I don't need to pay, like, what was it, $120 to celebrate. Yeah.
You got everything, though. You got the little stuff.
I still want a cell phone compatible printer that's portable and easy to use.
Non-branded.
Yeah, exactly. There are so many of them out there. Yeah. So, like, but I still want to get that. I just haven't done it. Anyway, yes, new Pokemon Snap content coming on August 30th, 6 p.m. These are both day and night versions of each area, so it is a lot of content. There are 20 new Pokemon being added, as well as including some Pokemon we've seen before, as we saw. So, like, new Pokemon just right off the bat, Feraligatr, Gyarados, Psyduck. Did you guys see any other new
Snorlax? Snorlax is new, right?
Yeah, and Shroomish. A lot of new Pokemon that weren't in new Pokemon Snap before.
What's the one? Oh, this is somebody's going to make fun of me for not knowing this. Swalot, the big whoa guy.
Oh, Swalot?
Is that Swalot? Gulpin, wait.
Gulpin's
the little one.
Gulpin's the little one. Swalot is the one they're talking about.
Bad Pokemon fan.
No. And then, and then we also got to see Rockruff, who's very cute and adorable. Good little puppers.
I'm so looking forward for you both. Because you could be just making things up, and I'd be like, hell yeah, man.
We should do that someday.
Just enough where I don't know enough, though, where you could totally trick me.
It'll be fine. There's Woggy Wog.
I'd be like, oh,
no, that
yeah.
was Swampert. And then I think I saw Feraligatr. Yeah, there's Feraligatr right there, too. Yeah.
You made
it
really
cool,
but look at that. I just screamed because there's a Gyarados coming straight at us. But if you weren't watching the video, you can't see, which is why you should head over to IGN Games YouTube channel and watch this.
Hi, we're Visible. We're the wireless company with nothing to hide. Seriously. Hidden fees? We don't have them. Annual contracts? Not our thing. Great wireless on just one line? Now that's more like it. Get unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month. Taxes and fees included. That's right, $25 a month, every month. Sorry, hidden fees. We're just not that into you. Sometimes the choice is just Visible. Switch today at Visible.com. Rate with service on the Visible plan. For additional terms and network management practices, see Visible.com.
This year, I decided I actually wanted to like follow hockey a little bit more than just the most casual of casuals. So I subscribed to a service that streams all of the NHL to your television. The Boston Bruins home opener, I went to watch it and boom, blackout restrictions apply, which I thought was kind of ridiculous because I'm still 200 miles away from Boston. But whatever, had I had NordVPN, that wouldn't have been a problem. I would have just gone in, changed my settings to another geographic area, and boom, I could have been watching all the Boston Bruins home games like it was nothing at all. So now I have NordVPN, and I can watch the home games of my local teams streaming without being frustrated. It's the same thing with like Netflix. It has all these complicated licensing rules, which from one country to another don't really make sense. So something you could watch on South Korean Netflix, you won't be able to watch on the United States Netflix unless NordVPN, boom, switch to South Korea, and you're watching whatever Korean drama that you want. I highly recommend you do that. I haven't done it myself, but people seem to enjoy them. And who am I to try to bring down people's enjoyment? NordVPN, more than just entertainment and sports availability, It's going to protect you, especially when you're traveling, when you're using public Wi-Fi. People are trying to get in there. They're creeping on you. Bad actors, people trying to steal your password, your bank account details. Who knows what the government's doing these days? I can't keep track. They're all over the damn place. NordVPN is going to protect you. It's going to protect up to 6 devices because I know you have at least that many devices in front of you right now that can hook up to the internet. Boom. Fastest VPN in the world. You're not going to get any buffering. You're not going to get any lagging. It's going to stop your ISP from bandwidth throttling, which they do. That's kind of sneaky, especially how much you're paying those guys. There's threat protection to protect you from viruses and malicious malware and whatever else unsavory actors are out there. If you want to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/NintendoVC. That's nordvpn.com/NintendoVC. Victor Charlie. That link is also going to give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There is no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nice of them, and I appreciate that.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy-on, easy-off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable, hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers.
Chicken up!
Crispy, crinkle-cut fries.
Hot potato coming through.
Buttery Texas toast.
Toast walking.
And secret cane sauce.
Topping off now.
Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app.
Go, go, go!
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Also, we're very excited about Pokemon. Just do everything. We're always excited about Pokemon here. But also, we're getting some other updates as well. Nintendo did confirm that we are getting Animal Crossing updates for Animal Crossing New Horizon, obviously, for the Nintendo Switch. Starting July 29th, we'll be getting weekly fireworks shows and seasonal items. It doesn't seem to be, which is today, I haven't been able to look at exactly what it is, but it's not necessarily like a huge update. The last update we got was back in April, so still like not like a ton, but hey, weekly fireworks shows. And also, cool. Rev, I know you mentioned that there's some hope to be getting more updates in the future.
Yeah, I think they had in like a tweet reply or something saying that, you know, they're still working on content or something like that. I know that was going around. And I don't know, I very much feel, I think a lot of Animal Crossing fans who stuck with it for the full year after it came out are feeling a little bit burned because they were hoping that there would be continuous new content, not just in repetitive seasonal events with like some slightly different items, but you know, everybody wants Brewster and his cafe, right? Like everybody mm-hmm. wants these big updates. I don't know. I don't have like any secret insider information, but just based on what they've said and kind of what I know about the game and what I've heard, I feel like they are probably working on that still. I feel like COVID probably has made it, because this game was ready, like right when COVID started. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's reasonable to say, oh yeah, their update plans probably got delayed a little bit by that.
It saved last summer.
It really did. So yeah. I just hold out hope. Like if you remember New Leaf, the Welcome Amiibo update came out like years after the major content update for that game came out like years after the original game. I mean, I would ideally not want to wait years for this, but I believe in Brewster. Believe in Brewster with me.
All right, everyone, believe in Brewster together and we'll get it. It's like a spirit bomb. We can do it. We'll all think about it. We'll send the power to Brewster and he'll come victorious. But
come bearing froggy chairs.
It's all we can hope for. But also, I was hoping, so we actually did just learn that Logan Plant will not be joining us for the rest of the episode.
No.
He's currently in Washington and there's a heat wave and they lost his internet went out because of the heat. And his internet provider said that they will not be getting it back for many hours. I feel
kids. Internet's
really
canceled.
Terrible. Yeah. So climate change killed the internet. Put that on the record. Also, I'm so sorry, Logan, because I really needed you for this topic. But it's okay. We'll get you back next week, and then you can talk about the Great Ace Attorney Chronicles, because I know he has been so excited. It's one of his favorite series. And I did really just quickly, I haven't played it. Have you guys played it yet?
No. I watched my partner play it, but I didn't watch very hard because I intend to play it. And mm-hmm. I didn't want to be.
Yes.
It's like I don't want to know what the answers are.
Oh, yeah. No, no.
My only comment is, wow, those character animations are very fun.
They are. And I also want to play this too. It came out on Tuesday, but like I said, I'm still working on Neo the World Ends With You. And I'm also still playing Pokemon Unite. So this is I'm going to get to this, but just not right now. But I did really quickly just wanted to mention like why this release is important. So the Great Ace Attorney Adventures originally released in Japan only on the 3DS in 2015, and its sequel came out in 2017. Still just said to be Japan only. They wanted to bring it out to the West, but there were a lot of problems with localization. Like, these games in the series are just known to be difficult to localize. And this is from an interview with Vice, the creator of the series, said, "I'll add sound effects to words I want to draw attention to, change the speed at which the text is displayed on screen, change a character's animation midway through a line, and other fine adjustments." And he also said, "When the situation changes, I'll also change the background music to bring a player's feelings in line with what's going on. And these are the kinds of details what creates the Ace Attorney feel or rhythm." And I can definitely see how matching that to English would be so hard, especially when a lot of the clues is originally based on Japanese wordplay. And I can definitely see like why that would be so difficult to localize, but they did it. They surprised us with this announcement in April. Like, I don't think anyone saw this coming. So it's very cool that we're getting this. We also have the review isn't up yet either, because this is a very long, beefy game, because there are two games in here. So we want to give our reviewer plenty of time to play it before putting out the review. So look for that very soon. And we'll definitely talk more about this next week when we can have a redo with Logan.
But yeah, definitely go.
Yes.
It's going to get an 8.
Who would have thought?
Because it's the
it's
great.
Probably great.
It
has to be.
On IGN scale.
It has to be great.
Thank you.
Very good, Seth. Thank you.
But with that, let's move on to some more news, of which there is some news.
It's July.
Always.
Nothing's happening.
It's July. Nothing's happening. E3's done. Go have barbecue.
Gamescom.
Go outside and stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
Month.
Gamescom is in a month. Yeah. Everyone's getting ready for that. But
there's an Annapurna showcase, like, literally
right
after
right
we're
now,
done recording
right.
this. But, like, we can't. It's not. It'll have happened by the time you watch this. So I don't know. Maybe there will be a game for Switch in there.
I forgot what it's called, and I don't remember if it's even Annapurna. I'm just assuming. But the cat in the cyberpunk city?
Stray. Yeah.
Stray. Are we going to see more of that?
Oh, I remember that.
I'm not allowed to comment on anything.
Well,
this is going
yeah,
out.
This goes up, but yeah, this goes up after.
Oh yeah, we saw Stray.
All right. Yes. Yeah, I'm so excited to watch
and
that.
And it looks great. It's not coming to Switch though.
No. Okay, never mind. Just
but it,
pretend
it's amazing.
Pretend I said nothing.
Well, no, but okay. I mean, I'll just do this really quick, whatever.
Yes.
Storyteller? Is that what it's called? Storyteller? Crap.
Surprise Annapurna Switch recap from Reb.
Finding out it's
second,
not coming.
If you need a second to like collect your thoughts, I can talk about Monster Hunter for like a
minute. Talk about Monster Hunter for a second, and then I'll like answer this in a meaningful way.
And I'm not just mentioning Monster Hunter for no reason. We're actually getting a crossover. There's another Capcom collab happening. The last one, we got a Tsukino as a layered armor, and now we're getting an Amaterasu layered armor for the Palamute. So yes, you can actually play as Amaterasu. I guess not play, but you can ride Amaterasu. And it looks awesome. It
looks
so cool.
Super good.
Yeah. And look, when you dash, it leaves the lotus flower petals behind. It looks so good. You also get layered weapons. This looks so cool. This is an awesome crossover event and just perfect for the Palamute, because if you've ever played Okami, that's what you do. You're a wolf and you fight things with swords in your mouth. So perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Please give us a new Okami game, Capcom. Thank you. But this is going to be available on July 30th. So tomorrow you do an event quest. And the cool thing about the event quest for Monster Hunter Rise is that you can download them and then play them whenever you want. They're always available. So if you are late to any of these event quests, you can always go back and do them at your leisure, as long as you have an internet connection to download them from your friendly connection cat. I think that's what, I don't remember what he's called, but you know what I'm talking about. Also, with Monster Hunter, we're getting some co-op quests added to Stories 2, which adds the Elder Dragon Kovig Teroth. Don't know if we'll be able to attach that egg, but you will get Kovig Teroth armor and stuff, so that's cool. So there's my very quick Monster Hunter update featuring Amaterasu from Okami. Reb, what's going on with Annapurna?
Yes, I'm ready. So the thing that you just saw, because it has now happened, there wasn't a whole ton of Switch news, but there were a couple little gems in there. We saw a new trailer for Neon White, which is this like very fast-paced movement game where you have like this card deck and each card has a weapon, but also a movement ability on it. And as long as you have the card, you can use the weapon that's on that card, but then you can discard it and get rid of the weapon to gain that movement ability. And it's all about like traversing these areas like very quickly and like defeating enemies, but also moving fast. And it was a really cool little trailer kind of showing off how that movement works that I thought was nice. And that's coming to Switch. There was a game that I was really intrigued about called Storyteller, which it is a puzzle game where you were given like a title of a story. So it'll be like a romantic story or a tragedy or something. And then you're given the pieces to that story. So you're given characters, settings, maybe like plot points, like a death, like you get a gravestone and you can put like a character on that. And then that character dies and you arrange them like in little comic book panels to tell the story that you're prompted to tell. So if you're prompted to tell a tragedy and you get like these characters, then you might like set them up to be like in love and then one dies or something like that. And the other one's sad. And it's just like these progressively more complicated puzzles around arranging the elements of a story. And I really like the look of that. I thought that was very cool and interesting and a very different way to do a puzzle game. So that's coming to Switch at an unknown date. There's a demo out now on Steam, I think, but Switch. But then the big one for Switch people is Outer Wilds made an appearance at Annapurna. That is planned for a Switch release this holiday, officially. And the big news is they are announcing the first and only expansion to Outer Wilds. It's called Echoes of the Eye. And that's coming out for, so it won't be out on Switch yet. The game won't be out on Switch. So it's coming to all the other platforms on September 28th. But when it comes out on Switch, it'll also be available for Switch as well. Awesome. And they were very teasy about that. They showed like the spaceship and like some flashes of like this underground area. Apparently this expansion content is going to be interlinked into the story that's already there, but they very, very secretive about what all that is, because Outer Wilds is like, if you've not played it, it's very much a mystery. It's about not knowing anything and being like, okay, what's going on here? So,
and just so you know, it's kind of like Groundhog Day, but sci-fi space travel stuff.
Yes.
With mysteries.
Yeah. So I'm very excited about that. I think having this expansion is going to be very cool and hopefully a reason for people to revisit that game or pick it up for the first time. I'm excited for the Switch release too.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that recap of Annapurna. Just to recap, you said Outer Wilds, Storyteller, and what was the first game that you talked about as well?
Neon White.
All right. We can look for that.
I have one yes. comment that I have to make specifically for Reb, and finding out that Stray is not coming to Switch has me not feline so good.
Oh.
Yes.
I mean, never say never, right? Like, it still could. It's just not currently.
Yeah, but then my joke loses every like that hilarious.
I give it a 7 out of 10. It was good, but not quite great.
It was like a 3.
A 3. No, man, I like puns, okay? They're subjective. Anyway, there is some other new news. I'm just thinking about puns now. I'm sorry. But Seth, I know that you specifically did want to talk about this. There are new SNES titles available for Nintendo Switch Online right now. And Seth, you have comments. You have thoughts.
And this is probably going to get me in trouble, because when I made fun of Fire and Ice, everyone's like, that's a very rare game and it's very fun. And it is, actually. It turned out it's a great game. And my ignorance about it bit me in the rear end, whatever. Pretty sure that there are some people out there who fondly remember Claymates. I am not one of them. And I feel bad for you if you are very... No, I'm not going to say that. Claymates, it looks charming, whatever. It's not the game we wanted. It's the same story every month. I don't know why I get surprised and disappointed. But yep, Claymates, you remember Clay Fighter series? This is that, but it's a side scroller and they're supposed to be made out of clay, but it doesn't really come through because it's the Super NES and doesn't have those high clay textures that later systems would have. So
honestly, watching that Claymates trailer jogged a deep lost memory when I was a small child. I was at some sort of like, I don't know, when you're a small kid, there are these like play areas that your parents pay for you to enter, and there's like ball pits and arcades and stuff. Yeah. I was at one of those, and they had Super Nintendos set up, and they had Claymates. And that's where I played that game. I was thinking, I was like,
"Ask for a refund."
It was my grandma. My grandma took me. It was a fun time. I liked it.
Now
I know what that game was called.
Yeah, well, that's good. Then you can revisit it for free as part of your Nintendo Online subscription.
It was actually good. But Jelly Boy, what are your thoughts?
What are these last two things I've been looking at? What?
Well, you just looked at Jelly Boy. That classic platformer exclusive to Europe, and it has that sort of European sheen to it. I don't know what that means, it just looks like a game that they would play in Europe. Yeah, das ist super. Yeah, ich finde Jelly Boy sehr gut. Whatever.
What is it about? So it's a platforming game.
It was made out of jelly. It's like all these, all the games have very pliable characters. Very, that you can turn into other things.
What's pliable about Bamboozle?
Well, nothing. Oh, you could explode. Let's just pretend for a minute. Let's just pretend for a minute that he's made of plastic explosives so that we can just run with this bit through the end of it. But Bamboozle, it's another one of those puzzle games that you'll probably play like once. But thankfully, they redeemed themselves on the NES side of things by, they didn't release anything.
There's nothing.
For the NES.
Just SNES.
So,
well, hey,
you asking what these games are about is like very funny to me, because like most of the games that are in this particular like category of games getting released onto Switch Online, they're not about anything. They're about a guy who can do a thing, and that's like the extent of what they're about.
No, you're right.
They're about packaged licensing deals where they can get, 20 games for the price of one, and they have to put out like these just really substandard. I shouldn't say substandard.
It's fine. It's fine. We're getting free stuff that you pay for indirectly.
Who is this guy? He looks like a rejected McDonald's mascot.
He looks like if Grimace was just a head.
The big ones.
Every month or every time they announce it, I have a little baby fit online. I'm like, man, they didn't give me what I wanted. And every month I remind myself I pay it's like $20 a year. So I pay $20 a year to be able to play Link to the Past and Super Metroid and Super Mario World and Super Mario 3 and Super Mario, like some of the greatest games. I get to play those anytime I want without having to like go to my emulators or dig out like the, original hardware or pay a bunch of money for the car. So Super Nintendo Online, you're fine. I don't mind. It's like how I pay for Disney Plus. I pay $5 a month so that I can watch any episode of The Simpsons anytime I want to. So there it
is. And I just want to say, I am glad that they are still coming out with monthly updates and free games. At least they're doing something, and I can appreciate that. And it is free games. And honestly, I think if you have a kid, this would have a lot more value, because they'd be like, hey, look, new games. If I was a kid, I just play what's put in front of me.
Everyone I know is playing Pokemon Unite right now.
Also that. I can tell, because sometimes I go in ranked games and like, this person has never played a MOBA in their life. Are you six? And probably. So
kids are too old. They're playing GTA Online. So,
but we'll get to that soon after we go through a little bit more news, which is a little bit sad. So everyone have a moment of silence for Dr. Mario. Because Nintendo is shutting down Dr. Mario World on October 31st will be the last day you can play it on mobile. It has premium currency. Their diamonds are no longer available. And it's Nintendo's worst performing mobile game. It's weird because it's the worst performing mobile game from Nintendo, but it also made 14 million since July of 2019. But I guess that is not that much when it comes to microtransaction
mobile
games. I know, right?
They finally figure out that he did not actually have a medical license.
Mm-hmm. That's probably it. He probably lost his medical license, and
he's a doctor of philosophy.
Damn it. Yeah. But that is all over the news of this week. There was a little bit more happening last minute than I thought, which is good. But I do definitely want to talk about some of the games that we have been playing. Seth,
yeah,
I see on here that you've been playing Fuga Melodies of Steel.
Yeah, because I didn't know anything about it, and like there was a code available, and I watched the trailer, and I was like, oh yeah, this looks, yeah, I'll try this out. I like RPGs, and then I tried it out, and I was like, oh, and I like slacked Tom Marks because he asked me about it, deputy reviews editor, Tom Marks. I was like, I like this game way more than I thought I would, to the point where I'm very scared that I'm going to start a DeviantArt just to make like fan art of the characters. Then they're like.
That's where you start. You start playing a game with furries like Sonic, and then you make a DeviantArt. Like, that is the natural, like, correlation. Yeah.
I followed you on TikTok for the first time right before we started the show. Please send me your DeviantArt. I will follow that too. Thank you.
I will never share my DeviantArt ever, but not until it's full of characters from this game. No, it's like, right. I didn't know anything about this game at all. And I didn't realize it's part of like a franchise, like Tales. Oh God, I can't remember what it's called. Forgive me, all you Fuga fans out there. But there is this whole like world of their feline people, and there are canid people, and they don't fight each other. They live together. But in this game, you live in what is basically France, but with dogs and cats, and you're fighting who are basically the Germans, who are called, this is a bit of a stretch, they're called the Burmans.
Okay.
You like wake up, and like you wake up this like spirit tank that is in a tree that it's so awesome. Oh my God, I love it. Like, it's like the tree that you're never supposed to go to in the village. You go in there, and it's this like diesel punk tank, and all these little kids, these like 10 and 12 year old cat and dog kids, get into it, and they like. They go fight the Burmans' invasion of their country.
In a giant tank.
Giant diesel punk tank, which, by the way, has like a farm on it and a kitchen, and you expand it and you grow your capabilities and you build relationships between the kids, and that gives you better skills in battle.
And there's also like dungeon crawling stuff.
Yes, you go exploring and you find little like, you find items to bring back and like guns and stuff. And man, this game is absolutely delightful, and I don't think it's a spoiler because it's within the first hour, but one of the most powerful attack that your tank has,
they showed this in the trailer, so
okay. Yeah.
But they didn't like outright say it, but like you can tell.
Oh yeah. What happens is you sacrifice the life of a child. You kill
a soul cannon.
Excuse me?
It says it in the trailer. Yeah. And I, as soon as I saw it, I was like, okay, I have to play this game now. Like, what is going on here?
Yep. You don't have to use it, but it heavily implies, I haven't played, you know, much, like I'm not like deep into this game yet, but it heavily implies that there are going to be situations where you basically have no choice but to sacrifice a small anthropomorphic cat child to save the rest of them. Man, this game is just adorable. I love this game so much, in spite of the fact that it's also super dark, because you have to like sacrifice a child at some point to survive. And you can do it as many times as you want to.
Oh.
You can just like roll up into any battle and be like, hey kid, get into the soul machine.
We're gonna
shoot your essence to
Seth,
to win
what is
battle.
Wrong with you?
Get me started.
It made me interested too.
Yeah, like it's got this like, I mean, it's super super anime feel.
Oh yeah, here we go. If you're watching the video, here's the trailer. It kind of like talks about it. What? Sometimes you'll even have to sacrifice a friend's
weapon.
Life, the ultimate weapon, Soul Cannon.
Yeah.
What? And it looks evil, right? It looks evil as heck.
Yeah.
Someone presented me with an evil cannon that did a murder every time I used it, I would simply choose not to use it.
But it's murdering the hated Burmans.
Oh,
the Burman invasion.
But what if they murder you?
And then what happens is if they beat you, they're just going to roll right over the country of, I can't remember the name of it right now.
Good
it's
country.
Not, it's not France, but it's supposed to be France. So... yeah,
this is too upsetting. Wonderful. I can't play this game. No.
It's, trust me.
This is like when I tried to play Inside, like the first time I died in that game. I just turned it off. I just said, nope, this is not for me. That's fine. I can't do it. Nope.
Wait, is that one that was on Xbox 360? Or is that the other one? I can't remember.
It's on various things at this point.
My friend was like, oh, you should play it in front of your kids. And I was like, okay, cool. And then like, a spider just destroyed my little boy and ragdolled him. And I was like, oh, this is when my kids were very little.
Also, Fuga is out now.
Yes.
So you can play this. And it, also, just to add a little bit more information, it was developed and published by CyberConnect 2, and you might recognize that name from the Dot Hack series.
Yes.
And it's the fourth title in the company's Little Tail Bronx series. Thank you,
Wikipedia. That's the one, Little Tail Bronx. Yeah.
Dot Hack, game. Huh?
I love the Dot Hack games.
I do too. So,
but this is very, this does not look anything like Dot Hack.
I'm not selling it very well. It's got strategic turn-based battle. Thank you, Casey, for your honesty. I appreciate that. It's a very fun game. It's very cute. It's very interesting. It's dark, but it's also very fun. And it's very strategic and involved. And there's a million things to do. I like it a lot. And I wish I had more time to play it. But we've been trying to watch The Sopranos every night. So
I was going to ask if you were going to review it.
I wish I had started it like earlier and more like aggressively, but I don't think I have the time to review this in a way that would be worth
that is deserved. Yeah.
I'll give you my impressions. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Check it out. It's super fun and cool and weird. That's what I love. I love how weird it is. It's just like not like anything else. It's so cool. And it's on Switch. So you can play it in bed, which is the best way to play any turn-based game, because you can fall asleep, wake right up, and you'll still be in your turn.
I agree. It's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
Thanks for telling us about Fuga, Melodies of Steel. Reb, what have you been playing?
I've been playing Yeast 9, Monstrum Nox, which is the most JRPG name possible to give something. This has been out. Yeast 9 has been out for a little while, actually, but it just came out on the Switch earlier this month. So it's only been out on Switch for a few weeks. It is the sequel, the ninth game in of the very long running Yeast series, which follows the silent protagonist named Adol. The series has undergone changes over the years. Right now it's, as you can see, very action sorty combo slashy RPG kind of stuff. It had a little bit of a slow start. I feel like I'm just sitting here ragging on the Switch today, which I am not, because I obviously love my Switch with all my heart. It's the best thing in the world. But it runs a little bad on the Switch. Not the platform of choice for this one. Lots of weird pop in and lag, and when there's too much stuff on screen, and some real interesting bugs. I've had characters just standing in the middle of the field doing pirouettes on me multiple times. That's pretty fun. Nothing game breaking though, and really very fun. Like these games have just this really fun kind of combo, good slashy battle system with lots of little abilities. If you like Tails and you like, having a bunch of abilities that you can level up and putting them on different buttons and just go into town on big old monsters, switching out characters and doing combos, really good stuff. Also, story is kind of interesting. The main character, Adol, is this adventurer who goes up to a town and basically gets immediately arrested. And it's this prison city, so the prison is the big central feature of the town, and he doesn't know why he's arrested. He escapes and gets turned by this woman with a magic gun into a monstrum, which gives him this super cool sword form and all this other stuff. Anyway, there's this whole, complicated RPG plot, but basically he's running around trying to figure out weird stuff that's going on in the prison, and he's got these buds who also have cool magic forms, and you fight
monsters.
Sounds
cool.
And stuff like
that. Sounds really neat.
Yeah, it's fun.
If you do, by the way, just wanted to throw that out there, if you do go and watch the review for this game after watching this, I did the voiceover for this review. I did not review it. Nadia Oxford reviewed it.
So just
legend.
Throwing that out there. It came out back in February as well. But it's cool to see you sticking with it, because I know I was reading your tweets about it and it seemed to be like a journey for you.
Yeah, it's one of those games that's messy in a fun way. That it's like fun to tweet about, like, look at this dumb thing that just happened. But it is very fun. Like, I can't quit playing it. I played Yeast 8. That was my first Yeast game ever. And I really loved Good 8. One. And that's Nadia's review sold me on getting 9. So I'm enjoying it. I'm not too far in yet, but I'm going to keep on trucking. It's a good time.
It honestly looks really cool, and I want more hours. Actually, you know what? If I had a reasonable wish that I could get granted, it'd just be like, I don't need sleep. I'm always well rested and don't need to sleep.
That'd be awesome.
Cool. Yeah. Also, another game with a banging soundtrack. Really good.
The whole franchise is like famous. Even in the TurboGrafx one on Turbo CD, it has like ripping guitars. Just
Yeah, my partner started playing 8 recently after watching me play 9, and I get a text like 30 minutes into the game. It's like, why does this beach theme go so hard? Which if you play these 8, you know exactly what theme that is. Yeah, it's real good.
Man, JRPGs just have great soundtracks. And speaking of games with great soundtracks, I started Skyward Sword again yesterday on the Switch. Also, fantastic soundtrack. Man, the music in that game was awesome. You guys also talked about Skyward Sword a ton last week, so I won't spend a lot of time on it, except that I'm having a pretty good time with it using the stick controls and not the motion controls, so I don't know. Maybe I'll stick with it a little bit longer than I did on the Wii version and maybe finish it. But I've also been playing Neo the Worlds with you, which we've already talked about, and also Pokemon Unite. I'm having a lot of fun with it, even though the microtransactions are... I don't really like them. So here's it. I don't know if you guys anyone talked about this on NBC last week. I know Jada had been playing it, but the microtransactions with Pokemon Unite, you can basically spend money to purchase held items for your Pokemon that then actually buff their stats in game.
Oh.
And I don't like it when microtransactions affect your damage or defense or basic attack speed or any of those things in game, because then you have a player who is just starting out.
Right.
And, you know, maybe even if you don't spend money, if you have been playing the game for a lot, your Charizard will be better than the other person's Charizard. And I guess you can also make that argument with regular Pokemon, but there is no option to fast track it. There is no option to pay for a perfectly, I mean, I guess there is if you cheat, but man, now I'm just getting into the weeds. There are arguments to be made, but this is a special case. It is MOBA. It is only multiplayer. It leaves a bad taste in my mouth to know that you can pay to purchase these items and then get them all the way up to max level. Like, I've been playing, I'm level 13 in the game. I've been playing like, I don't know, I probably put in maybe like 10-ish, maybe more hours, like 15 hours so far into this game. I've just been playing a couple of games a night, and I've been able to get one item up to max level, and each Pokemon can equip 3, and each Pokemon, like the 3 items on one Pokemon doesn't necessarily work for another Pokemon. So it's just, I don't know. And you say that the buffs are small, but you take, okay, sure, it only increases your attack by 2%, but by the end of the game, that becomes an exponentially larger number if you're doing basic attacks for 10 minutes, you know, it kind of like builds up. I have been having a lot of fun with it, though. It is a fun, well-made game. I like that the battles, so unlike other MOBAs, you're like, oh, like I have some time, I can get in a game, but sometimes a game of League of Legends or a game of Smite could be like 30 or 40 minutes long. Like, who knows how long a game is going to be? And Pokemon Unite's games, they will always be 5 or 10 minutes or less if you choose to surrender earlier than that. So I like that there is a consistency in games. It's kind of like a your first MOBA. There are a lot of things that you don't need to worry about as far as like resource management that you usually have to worry about in your regular MOBAs. So if you've never played, and by MOBA I mean like a multiplayer online battle arena like League of Legends, Dota, and Smite, those are all of those. And I think I think those are the most popular ones that you need to know about. But it's cool that they have a wide variety of different Pokemon. They could do a lot better with their UI. I think it's bad. Just navigating the menus is really annoying. They should put more thought into that. Like, if you're in a lobby with people, if you go back to your menu to like change out your items or look at your Pokemon's moves or whatever, if you press the big button on the screen that says go back to the main menu, it boots you out of the lobby. But if you press in on the right stick, you can freely go back to look at your stuff. I don't know. It has issues, but overall, it is a fun game to play. Yeah. Also,
it's a bummer. It's a bummer to hear, because I have not played it. It's a bummer to know that about the microtransactions, mm-hmm. because like I was looking at some of the stuff coming out about this game before it released, and they were showing off, you know, all the different like skins, and there's like a Blastoise wearing a dapper little suit, and there's like Snorlax in this like tropical island attire, and they're so cute, and it's like, wow, that's such an easy microtransaction to do. Like, just get I'm not playing this game, but were I playing a Pokemon game that had that in it, I'd pay real money for cute little Pokemon outfits that don't affect the game at all, but make my Pokemon look dazzling. That's super cool. And so it's like, it's like a bummer that they didn't feel they could rely on just that. Because I feel like a lot of people would be perfectly happy to just give money to put a hat on a Pikachu.
Yeah, I do think they would be. And I do think that people would also be happy, like, spending money to unlock new characters, which you can unlock with earned in-game currency. I was able to unlock one so far. I have not spent any money, and I'm about to be able to unlock a second one. So, like, it takes some time, but honestly, it also takes some time to learn characters and be proficient at them anyway, so you shouldn't really be switching between a ton of different characters anyway. So, but yeah, I'm having fun with it. It's most fun when you have other people to play with, because communication is key in these sort of games. I know Miranda is working. I know her beginner's guide basics and features page for Pokemon Unite is a must read if you have never read a MOBA, so go check that wiki page. And our timer has stopped, so I don't actually know how much time we have left.
No.
But I did really quickly also want to answer a question. What is the most recent game to crack your top five? This is from Clark in Cleveland, and he says his most recent one is Mario Odyssey. So what is your most recent game that is now in your top five games of all time?
I think Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
It might be New Horizons, depending on the day, because previously New Leaf was like in my because my top 10 like changes depending on how I'm feeling that day. New Leaf kind of sits somewhere in the 5 to 6 spot, and New Horizons I think is better than New Leaf. And so like on a given day it might be New Horizons, but Breath of the Wild certainly, like, that is my favorite game of all time. And
yeah,
that coming out just blew everything I had ever played before completely out of the water. Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been my answer did I not look at the flight controls on either side of me at my desk for Microsoft Flight Simulator, which is my most recent top five. And it's also on Xbox now. And it's also incredible they gave a performance update for PC. So, like, oh man, I could talk about that game forever. I'm going to go pitch a show to Damon, Flight Simulator talk, just me talking about flying in the sky.
I think my most recent game to get into my top five is probably Monster Hunter World.
Interesting.
Yeah. I love that game. I put in like 800 hours into that and Iceborne. I think it's fantastic. I know it's not a Nintendo game. I'm sorry. Monster Hunter Rise, of course, I really loved it, but World just, it means a lot to me. That game means a lot to me. And
if it's just Nintendo game, it's Breath of the Wild. Like, yeah. No question.
And with that, I'm sorry. That is about all the time we have left. I did want to spend more time on the Great Ace Attorney Chronicles, but without Logan, we're holding that until next week. So that's it for this week. And remember, Nintendo Voice Chat, you can find it every Thursday at 3 p.m. I know. Did I do good? Did I? No, it comes out every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific time on YouTube and your favorite podcasting platform. I do hope you check us out on IGN Games on YouTube. And remember, NBC is the only place you can
get the thing.
Get the thing! I said it!
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts, with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.